Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your loved ones. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guest, I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to honor the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King and his family. Dr. King was a man whose wisdom is something that we could certainly use today. Now, a few years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting and talking extensively with Alveda King, Dr. King's niece. She, too, is very wise and spoke about love, friendship, and gratitude. She did not focus on her losses, and she's had plenty. She focused on the positives, and like her uncle and her father, she spoke about our similarities, not our differences. And she spoke about what we need to do to be united, not how to divide us. And personally, I know I'm a better person for having met her. Now, speaking of gratitude, I want you all to know that I am grateful to all of you who listen to and watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, and reviews. And please remember, this show exists for you. The more input you have into it, the better we're going to be able to bring things that you believe helps your life and the life of your family. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answersforthefamily.com and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your family. Now, many of you know that I have gone to providing quotes prior to bringing our guest on, and I have one of the most famous quotes ever spoken. Although it's not from our journal, it is by Dr. Martin Luther King. It says, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Now, I urge everyone to pull up the entire speech on your computer today and listen to it. Then think about what the content of your character is. And it is, if it is not who you really are, be the person you know you can be, and don't let any politician or self-appointed leader steer you in any other direction. Now, speaking of dreaming, our topic today is also the title of our guest book, Dreaming Techniques: How to Master the Art of Dreaming. Our guest is another Dr. King, who is also a man of peace and wisdom, Serge Kahili King, who has published the world's largest selection of books and tapes on Huna, the Polynesian philosophy and practice of effectively living the spirit of aloha that at its foundation is an attitude of love and peace for which the Hawaiian Islands are so famous for. A master's degree in international management and a bachelor's degree in Asian studies. Using his academic background, his years of training in African and Hawaiian shamanism, his experience in community development, and his cross-cultural research as source material, Serge has developed lectures, workshops, and courses to provide people around the world with ways and means to improve their lives. Today, he teaches people how to use shamanic healing techniques and uses his knowledge to help others discover their own creative power. Serge, I think this is a beautiful day to speak with you on Answers Network.
Very glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it is my pleasure. I really enjoyed learning more about you, going through the book, and I just really felt that this is the perfect day to have someone like yourself that is so focused on peace and improvement for all of us to take on those parts of other cultures that can make all of us better people. And I just want to thank you for taking the time on this day to come on.
Thank you.
All right. So now, before we discuss the book on dreaming and lucid living, can you share with our audience about the philosophy of Huna?
Well, sure. Huna is a Hawaiian word that has a number of meanings, but and very greatly misunderstood. But it means something hidden, secret, but not the kind of secret that you keep from people, just something that's hard to see. In Hawaiian Dictionary, a couple of the other meanings have to do with dust or the fine spray of a wave. So it's knowledge that's there, but difficult to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. So it represents, we use the word, to represent the philosophy that I was taught by my adopted Hawaiian uncle, and which consists of seven ideas about life. And so we think of this as the core of Huna as it comes from the Kahili family. Mm-hmm. So I'll go through those very quickly, if you don't mind.
Please, I would love it.
All right. First is the idea that the world is what you think it is. You're going to interpret the world through your beliefs and expectations and ways of thinking, and that's how you're going to think the world is. And so you will experience the effects of the way you perceive the world.
Now, Serge, before you go into another one, on that particular one, can you touch on how we can make sure that that is used for good? As you brought that up, I thought, you know, I think that there are people out there trying to use that in a negative way. And I know that you teach people on how to use this in a very beautiful and positive way in their lives.
Sure. Because the main point here is, if the world is what you think it is, you can change your world by changing how you think. Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways and so many sources that help people do that. But that's the thing. The fact that you have your existing world today is there because of the way you're thinking. If you want to change it, one of the ways is to start thinking differently. Mm-hmm. And I know it at first it sounds, oh, well, how can my thinking, you know, change and what I'm doing or change my environment? Well, in real life, different connections can happen. The second idea is that there are no limits. Really aren't. It's an infinite universe. Mm-hmm. But here's the curiosity. We have to think, we have to use limits in order to accomplish anything. If we think about playing a game, for instance, if you're going to play soccer, you're going to have rules about it, right, even to the point of what kind of ball you use. But if you're going to play football, you have to have different rules.
Right.
You can't use the rules for soccer or for football. We need different kinds of limitations that guide us or allow us to do things in a particular way. So the world, you know, there are no limits, and yet there are limits because we make them. Mm-hmm. And we can make those limits in a positive way. Okay, we don't have to think of them as restrictions. We can think of them as ways of doing things. Okay? And we're seeing that happen in the world all around us right now. Okay? New things are happening. New ways of doing things are happening. Okay? Yes, I know right now we're troubled by this pandemic. But there's also many other things that you can look up and see what's happening in terms of science, in terms of many kinds of social things that are very positive that are occurring too. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we're only limited by the limits that we allow ourselves to use. The next one is that energy flows where attention goes. wherever you put your attention, that's where your energy is going. And if it's a very focused attention, you'll be attracting other people to it as well. You think of terms like, let's say, watching a football game. Mm-hmm. We're watching that football game because there's an awful lot of activity there. Right. Or how people will be attracted to a fire because there's so much energy there. And or something beautiful. When there's beauty in nature, people are attracted. So energy flows where attention goes. The opposite side of that, which is just as true, is that attention go, well, not only does energy flow where attention goes, but attention goes where energy flows. Mm-hmm. Now, what that means is that if you put your focus on something, even if it's as simple as a part of your body, and keep your focus there in a positive way, you're going to begin help to heal that part of your body or attract the things that will help you heal it. Okay? So if you think in terms not of, oh, I'm sick, I need help, but I want health, how can I get it? There's a big difference, okay, in what's going to happen.
Definitely, yes. And so what you're saying is that, you know, if there's something that's happening that is not good for your health, focus on your immune system, focus on the things that you can do to get away from that or to heal that. And which is what I love, and which is why I know, having studied you being a healer, that makes perfect sense.
Good. Thank you. And then the next one is that now is the moment of power. Now here's where it gets really interesting, because now is the only thing that exists. The past is a memory. The future is an expectation. Here is real at this given moment. And what the moment is can be very tiny, depending on your focus, or an awful lot broader, depending on your focus. But the point is that here is where we change things. Mm-hmm. So we have developed all kinds of techniques that demonstrate this, that when you, it doesn't matter what happened in your past, when you start doing things differently in the present moment, you start changing those effects of the past. So the past is not a burden we carry with us. It's a memory. We can change the memory, or we can change our behavior now and change conditions. And then we say that to love is to be happy with. This comes right out of Hawaiian culture. We have the word aloha. It means a lot of different things, love, but also friendship, kindness, mercy. Aloha means all kinds of things like that. It does not mean anything that's not good. So in the aloha way of thinking, that love is to be happy with it, jealousy is not love. Jealousy is fear and anger. Okay? Love is when you are happy with whatever part of a person. Or love is when you share love, share happiness with someone. That's the more active side of it. And so this whole love thing is why we have this natural inclination to help people. It's a natural one. It's why people, strangers, will run into burning buildings to save somebody they don't know. It's a natural part of us. We have to build up reasons and fear and anger to block us off from that love. And I'm just saying that, you know, it'd be nice if we could do away with all of that immediately, but the individual can,
right,
again, by showing more love, by being more loving, and by sharing more. Mm-hmm. It's not easy for some people, but it can be done and change relationships tremendously.
So what would one thing that, in other words, everybody that's listening or watching, what would be one thing that they can do, a shift that they can make right now and carry it through that is going to bring them closer to that philosophy or that concept of HUNA?
There's a very simple thing. We call it blessing the present. What you does is acknowledge the good that exists right now around you. Okay? Mm-hmm. not the bad that's existing someplace else that gives you turmoil. A simple example, I had a woman come to me one time when I was living on Kauai. And so she came and she was full of panic, full of fear, full of anger even about all the bad things that were happening in the world. And so she was almost in a panic. I said, okay, stop, hold it. Come over here to my window. Look outside. What do you see that's bad? We're living on this beautiful island of Kauai near the ocean, you know. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, okay. I took her out every window of the house. I said, we can go in my car outside and I'll take you to every part of this island. You're not going to find any of the things that you are talking about. Do they exist somewhere? Yes, they do. But they don't exist here with you right now. Mm-hmm. And so the thing to do is not get upset and angry about them or fearful. It's to do something about them, yeah. Whatever is in your capability to do. Now, of course, if you can do something directly, great. But the least you can do, for example, one time I was sitting with, and I think this is a good one, because one time I was sitting with some friends and we were talking about newspapers. And the one friend said, I don't read the newspaper, so I don't have to deal with that. Okay. The next person said, I read all the good news and I ignore the other part. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I do. I read the whole newspaper, okay? I bless the parts that are good and I do my best to heal the parts that aren't.
Right. I love it. No, and that's exactly what we need to do. And I think another thing that I'd like to add to that is that using the example that you gave, I think we need to look at what it is that we're modeling for our children, because if you have the news on 24 hours and you're constantly in anxiety over every bad thing that's going on, your children are going to feel that anxiety. And now with them not being in school, they're going to be home with you. You're creating a nation as opposed to, as you're saying, focus on the positives and the things that you can make a difference in and share that with your children.
And send some love or some prayer or some blessing to help the people who are unhappy.
I love it. All right. Now, in with everything that I know, you're best known for your shamanism and your healing. Why did you choose to write this particular book on dreaming?
Well, when I came back from Africa and I began sharing the shamanic knowledge that I've been trained in. And part of that shamanic knowledge is the ability to go on journeys, which is like a kind of daydream. Mm-hmm. But it's a daydream in which you set up the framework and then allow things to happen. And discoveries and new ideas and concepts come in when you're doing that. And then I began to realize also that this is very similar to night dreaming. So I decided, I had read about someone, a Frenchman in the 1800s who had written a journal, and I think he had written down 1,000 dreams. So I began to start writing my dreams down. Discovered some incredible things that had mostly been ignored. One of the things was that, you know, people talk about having a nightmare as if that were nightmares, as if that were the only thing that happened all night. I trained myself to wake up after every dream. I would have half a dozen dreams. Among them might be a nightmare. And then there would be dreams of adventure and dreams of fun and dreams of just doing plain things as if the nightmare didn't exist or have any importance. It was just part of something that happened. So that started giving me some different ways to help people heal nightmares. So that was part of it. And then I realized that there were more and more how many similarities there were between night dreams and daydreams and what we call reality. So finally I decided to analyze. I recorded 5,000 of my own dreams, and I decided to start analyzing for content and for how they related to other experiences. I ran a hypnotherapy institute for 10 years, and a lot of what I had to do with dreaming and helping people change their ideas and their memories of the dreams. So that's how it began.
Well, one of the things that I've been looking forward to asking you about with this is that I'm someone who, when I was younger, I dreamed extensively. I dreamed in color. They were so incredibly vivid that at times I would wake up and, you know, go to the drawer where I had put something in the dream and go to that drawer and then be surprised that it wasn't there. And as I've gotten older, as I've taken on more responsibilities, after I had children, after I started working, I don't seem to remember them anymore. And I don't know how to get back to that point. Although I do know that now, as I'm sort of turning that corner and not working as much, and my children are now gone and my youngest has just graduated college, I'm starting to remember a few more of them. But what are some things that we can do to be able to start remembering them, because I miss them?
Sure. Well, one thing is you got to decide that they're important enough.
What was that?
Important enough to remember.
Oh.
See? Because that's what usually happens with people. They don't pay attention to them. And so they don't remember them. Well, the simplest way to start would be to, if you have a dream and you have that dream during the night and you happen to wake up, jot down a couple of keywords. You don't have to write out the whole dream like I used to. I don't do that anymore. But you jot down a couple of keywords so that in the morning you'll remember at least part of it. And so then that starts to happen more and more, and you start to remember more and more of your dreams. Now, I think of them as both experiences and adventures. There are different ways to interpret dreams, but there are different ways to interpret waking life, too. So I don't see that as the most important part. But in my book, I do give some ways to do that.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about, I think in the book, if it has to do with dreaming in color or black and white. What does that mean?
It means that you dream in color or black and white. I mean, most of my dreams are in color.
Okay.
But I've had dreams that were in cartoon style. Okay. I've had dreams that involve celebrities, but not as sometimes as celebrities, but sometimes as friends or co-workers or you know, different aspects of something. As a part of me. So all kinds of different relationships occur. But the black and white, what some people dream in, I don't have a complete conclusion about that, but I think it does have something to do with focus. Mm-hmm. Because there's the other side of the black and white is the intensely colorful dream. That's like a Wizard of Oz kind thing compared to looking around and seeing our daily life. Okay? And that, I believe, is a matter of focus. So then it's possible that the black and white dreams are too. And then there are dreams, you know, if you start being aware of them often enough, there are dreams in which you are you, and there are dreams in which you are someone else completely. A different race, a different country. I've spoken languages in dreams that I don't know in waking life.
Wow.
And languages that I do know, but different languages. I have been all kinds of different kinds of people in different kinds of places. And I have had dreams in which I was an animal. In fact, I had one very recently in which I was a duck saving its duckling. I never had a dream being a duck before, so I thought that was fascinating. There's so much that happens that if we don't pay attention, we'll never learn about it.
Now, how does that feel? Because how do you know that you are the duck versus you are looking from afar and observing the duck?
There's a difference. You can feel it. That third person. Mm-hmm. Being third person is another aspect of dreaming. Sometimes you are third person and first person, and it goes back and forth. But sometimes it's simply third person. You're watching a show, you know, you're watching a movie. But you know, it's like right now, if you set about to do anything right now, getting a cup of coffee, you're doing that. And you can step back and think of yourself getting a cup of coffee if you want to, or you can focus in and be the person doing it. It's the same in a dream.
Okay. I was thinking about a dream that I had, a reoccurring dream that I had as a child. And I was driving a car, and I wasn't old enough to drive a car yet, but I kept driving it into the ocean. Mm. And that I would have like an initial reaction, you know, almost like a panic.
Oh, sure.
But then after I was on the bottom of the ocean and I looked at the different fish that were around me, I somehow in the dream said, "It's okay, you're dreaming," and then kept driving under the water. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that you had a lucid dream.
Okay.
Lucid in the sense that you were aware of the dream as a dream. That's one aspect of lucidity. And you made a conscious choice to do something. In the first place, you also allowed the dream to continue. Nightmares, this is one way to deal with them. You go back and you remember it. And at the point where you woke up, many people wake up at that part, for instance, where you came to the water.
Right. The whatever scared you, right?
Exactly. And so you wake up and then you stop the thing. If you brought it back as a memory and allowed it continue, and you did it in the dream, allowed it continue, it will always resolve into a good ending. Hmm. We have found that consistently. It's not always a lot of fun, that transition part, yeah. But it will happen. That's one way to do it. And go ahead.
No, I was going to take a break in a little bit, but I would love to know more things that we can do to bring out more lucid dreaming. But we're going to take a break. But for everybody out there, we are talking with lucid dreaming, but think about also the things that he's talked about with Huna, because we're not just talking about dreaming. We're talking about how you can not only be a better person, but also how to do that and share it with others. So for everybody out there, you're listening to the Answers Network, and we'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We're talking with Serge Kahili King. We are talking about shamanism. We are talking about healing, and we are talking about dreams. And when we went to break, we were talking about lucid dreams. So, Serge, can you share a little bit more about the things that we can do to help get us to maybe have more lucid dreams, or at least remember the ones we are having?
Okay. Now, my concept of lucid dreams is different from that of some other psychologists. So this is the way I think of them. I think of them in four categories. First is self-identity. If you recognize yourself as yourself, or someone else recognizes you by calling you by name, for instance, that's what I call lucid one. Lucid two is when you consciously change events without knowing it's a dream. This happens too. The idea is that you have taken a decision, you've made a decision, and you've changed the course of something in the dream. That's a form of lucidity too. A lot of people will dream and just go along with it and let it take them places. Lucid three is recognition that it's a dream or an illusion, like you did in that experience. You don't necessarily have to do anything, but you say, okay, this isn't real. I know this. And then lucid four is where you are aware of dreaming and consciously changing something. Now, this is a practice that's also known as dream yoga. Okay. And it's practiced by Tibetan lamas who are doing this on purpose in order to gain the ability to change their reality, to move, their purpose is to move into a deeper state or a higher realm. And that's fine. But what the practice itself, they will, in meditation, create an experience and then do something about it, like cause a tree or to imagine that a tree is burning and then going up and putting out the fire with their hands. Something else of that nature, where they will allow an experience to occur and then they will purposely go in and change it. Now, what's very interesting is there has been a fairly recent study showing that video gamers seem to have the highest rate of lucid dreaming. Well, if you stop to think about it, what are they doing? They're going into an imaginary world that some part of them knows is an imaginary world, and they're making conscious decisions to change it. And that's part of what the gaming is about.
Yeah.
And so this is carrying on as an experience into their night dreams. They can do the same thing.
So
now the benefit of it?
Yes.
Well, part of the benefit is a buildup of self-esteem and self-confidence, which is always a good thing, no matter what your life is like. It helps you to change things out here as well. You don't have to believe, although a lot of cultures do, you don't have to believe that this world is a dream. That a lot of people do that, that's fine. But it is changeable. And it's changeable by what you do and how you think and how you act. So, and it changes in amazing ways. So anyway, that's my concept of lucidity. You can be lucid here too.
Well, some say that dreams can tell the future. Is that true? And if so, what are some examples of that?
Okay. It's an opinion. My opinion is a little different. Okay. There are what they're called precognitive dreams, where you dream something and then an event, either rarely identical, but often very similar, occurs. My concept of that is that we have the ability to consciously or subconsciously tune into existing patterns that may develop into such a thing. And it will most often be different in a number of different ways. But we can also, once we become aware of this pattern, we can change the pattern right now and change the outcome. One of my favorite stories, and I think I tell about this in the book, is a woman who had a precognitive dream of her son falling out of a tree and breaking his leg. So I told her, you know, she came to me about this, and I told her what to do. And what you do is you take that memory of the dream. Remember, you don't have to go back to sleep to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a memory now.
Right.
So you take that memory and you change the memory. So I told her to go ahead, well, do something. You know, it's up to you. Change it. Change the ending. And so she put a mattress under the tree so that when her son fell, why, he fell on the mattress, didn't get hurt. Oh, that was clever.
Okay.
2 weeks later, she's in a park, and she is hears a scream, and she looks, and she sees her son falling out of a tree. Well, of course, she's terrified, runs over there just in time to see him getting up from the ground, dusting off his pants, and laughing, and walking away. There was no mattress, but there was a different ending. He fell, but he didn't get hurt.
He didn't get hurt.
That's right. So I believe that what she did by changing the memory helped change that pattern so that when everything came together for that, it happened differently. And I've experienced this and taught this to people over and over again. It's very effective.
I like it. We have some listener questions and comments that have come in, and I want to share this. And first, I want to thank them for taking the time to send these in. We get teachers or people that work during the day, and even during COVID, they're still working. They're just doing it online, and they'll send in questions or comments sometimes ahead of time, or in some cases, people will send it in during the show. But again, we appreciate it. This first one reads, I've been trying to capture my dreams, but if I am even slightly distracted, they seem to slip away before I can fully record them. The description in your show summary says that your book provides instructions on dreaming, but I wasn't clear if that means interpreting them as well as techniques to help me recall them. I'm very much looking forward to buying your book, and I would love it if it could help me get past this hurdle. And that's from Margaret in Los Angeles.
Okay. Interpreting different ways. There are lots of different ways to interpret dreams. So this is all these different ways to do that. But it also has a chapter on remembering dreams. And so it'll give you a number of different ways to do that. One of them, of course, as I mentioned earlier, was write something down. You don't have to record the whole dream. And, you know, this is a curious thing. It's going to be an experience for many people, that as you begin to try and write the dream down, you find that it doesn't work. In other words, you're in a different world and you're trying to write something down and you don't have the words. It just doesn't come out. Okay? It's like trying to write a piece of music in words. You can hear music, but you can't put it down as words. If you know musical language, you might be able to do it. But you'll see what I mean. It's not unusual that the dream will start to fade as you start to record it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, even writing it, what about, you know, in this day and age, it's, you know, we have, you know, Alexa next to the bed that you can just, you can just, Alexa, record this.
That's even better.
You know. Sure. You know, and then
I'm old fashioned. I'm an old guy.
But yeah, that's some of the things that, you know, and again, going through the book myself, one of the thoughts that I had was, you know what, I'm going to put something to be able to record, you know, next to me. Cause I've tried that in the past where I tried to write things down. And it seemed like before I could even start writing, it was gone.
Right. So the recording that we have that technology today is a very good thing.
Okay. One thought that I have, when I was in college, one of the classes that I took, as a psych major was a dream interpretation course. Mm. And I still didn't completely understand. So for instance, one person in the class started talking about the fact that they were seeing, pink elephants, mm-hmm. you know, floating in the sky and so on. And then they kept trying to make them go away. And the facilitator in the class said, do you have any children? And she said, no. And she said, do you want to have children now? And she said, no. And he said, does your husband want you to have children now? And she said, yes. And he said, I believe that it is that he's putting pressure on you to have children and you're having these dreams of you trying to push it away because you're not ready. Now, I have no idea, you know, but it kind of made sense. But does that sound like the way in which a facilitator would learn enough to guide them into what it might mean? Or is he just pulling this from the air?
He's pulling it from the air.
Okay.
because that's what it means to him.
Yeah.
And dreams mean what you decide they mean.
Right.
Okay. I mean, take a look at your daily life. What did you do yesterday and what does it mean? Mm-hmm. That's about the same kind of thing as dreams, because you're working with a memory of an experience and you're giving it an interpretation. Now, you're free to do that. Mm-hmm. But my idea is give it a good interpretation. I mean, since you're making it up anyway. And if you're allowing someone else to interpret dreams, then you have their expectations and beliefs.
Yeah. And see, so, it's, yeah. To me, that makes so much more sense.
I give some ways to do it.
Okay.
But I give a different ways purposely, even the different psychological systems and how they interpret dreams, so that you see that there's a lot of different ways to do it.
I like that. We have another question or comment coming in, and this one reads, in many of my recent dreams, I wake up just about to resolve or fix a situation. Mm. And then, although I know logically my dreams aren't real events, for a good part of the morning, I have this nagging feeling that I haven't finished or resolved something.
Okay.
Is this typical for most people? And could these sort of dreams be connected to the pressures of what we are all going through right now, be it COVID or the other issues? And am I unable to somehow get back to my normal life? And this is from Nancy in Oregon.
Sure. You can interpret it that way if you want to, but let's get practical. Once you have the dream, it's a memory.
Okay.
Good. Call the memory back up and fix it with your imagination. It's that simple.
Okay.
You're going to feel a sense of completion, and it's going to start changing something about how you feel about other things. No one can determine exactly what it could possibly be related to, but it doesn't matter. Call the dream back up and fix the situation with your imagination. That's what's going to produce a healing.
I really like this. I've always thought that it is about what it means to you and not necessarily what somebody else said it is. But I love the fact of what you're saying, that it's not only what you believe it is, but it's still yours to control or to change.
Yes.
If you so wish.
Yes.
Can you share another story of something along those lines? Because I want people to fully understand, and especially if you're just listening now, I think this is really powerful.
Well, okay. You have to give me some little guidance because there's so much possibility here. All right. I had a dream about, I took my car and where I was living at the time, and I went out a dirt road and I went to a highway. I stopped and, like I normally did, looked both ways, started to drive out, and a car came rushing over a nearby hill, just a hidden thing that you couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And that's when I woke up, just as the car was about to hit.
The car was about to hit you?
About to hit me, yes.
Gotcha.
And that's where I woke up. So I called the dream back as a memory, and I followed it all the way through, only I stopped and stayed a little longer. And the car came over and it went past me. Okay, good. Next morning, I had to go something. I took my regular car, because this other one was a nice red roadster that I don't have. So I took my other car and went out to the and stopped and purposely paused for a moment. There was a pattern building, but the pattern had changed because the car came from the left. And it did come zooming by and would have hit me if I had gone out in a normal way.
If you hadn't have paused at that point. You see, that's amazing.
Yeah. By doing these changes, we change the potentials for the future. See, I have a personal, very different view of the future. I don't believe it exists until it becomes a present moment. But that's personal. I'm not trying to impose that on anybody. But I do know that if I will change expectations, change memories in the present moment, it changes the outcome of events.
Let's talk a little bit about how does your shamanism tie into these thoughts that you have and in regards to dreams? I met a shaman that was from India, and I unfortunately he passed away. He was one of my favorite people, and I felt was very, very wise. What's the correlation that you see in regards to, again, with shamanism, dreams, healing? How does this all tie together?
Because it's all dreams. What the shaman is doing, I think the shaman goes on a journey, a shaman journey, is purposely going into another world. That's how we think of it. And doing something in that world, either to gain a power, a skill, or to help to heal someone else. So you sometimes the shaman will go there to find someone. It's called soul retrieval. And of course, it has different cultures have different ideas about it, but basically you're going in there to help someone else gain back. And so it's a purposeful adventure. Okay. And there may be problems, there may be dangers, there may be all kinds of things. And as a shaman, very much like the dream yoga Tibetans, you change something so that it doesn't bother you. I wrote about this. I describe it in detail in one of my novels of a young Hawaiian who's having such a dream. He's in Mongolia. And so there's this huge cloud which is about to envelop him. And so he changes himself into a gigantic butterfly, flaps its wings to dissipate the cloud. Okay. And it changes the whole experience. So it's another type of dream in which you are purposely acting, the shaman does. Mm-hmm. It's part of the life. And the more you practice this, the more you are able to do this in your night dreams. And one of the wonderful things is if you learn how to fly, I know dreams I've had and have them once in a while in which I'm in a stuck situation and I remember in the dream, hey, wait a minute. I remember in this other dream that I could fly. So maybe I can do the same thing now and I do it. It's a wonderful feeling.
Well, and that's actually one of the reasons why I would like to be able to remember my dreams more now, because one of the things I really enjoyed was the fact that I did fly in my dreams as a younger person.
Yes, right.
And really felt, at times I felt like I woke up very rejuvenated.
Yes, that's right, exactly. You know? Well, you can do that now, as in dream yoga or in shamanic practice. Create a dream in a nice, quiet state and fly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to be working on that one. But Serge, I just really want to thank you. It's unfortunate we are out of time now, but I want to thank you for taking the time to come on, for sharing, but mostly for doing what you're doing to help spread HANA. I mean, that's, you know, as far as doing things that can help benefit all of us, we need more people like you. And for everybody out there, we need to support more things like, you know, like what Serge is doing. These are the things that are going to make a difference, not what you see on the network news or what's being fed to you over social media or whatever. These are ways in which you make a positive difference in your life by following people like Serge that are really focused on making a difference for all of us. So I want to really thank you and acknowledge you for that.
Mahalo, which is Hawaiian blessing. Thank you.
All right. And so for everybody out there, please tune in next Monday when we're going to be joined by Dr. Lydia Luna, founder of Moon Collective Retreats. And during our interview, she's going to share with us her Reboost retreats. So, and they're dramatically transforming lives through the practice of breath work, exploring sound healing, and experiencing the restoration power of various forms of body movement. So please check this out. I think that it'll be something that'll be beneficial. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com or answers.network. You can also subscribe to the show through YouTube, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud. Please leave a review or comment and spread the word. For everybody out there watching and listening, be good human beings and spread a little huna. Take care.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.